And it is
live.
We are live. What's going on, everybody? It's time to rock with our really good friend Jimmy tonight. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. So good. I'm excited. I was just actually telling you that, and you were like, "We're going live." But I was like, "Man, I'm pumped to be here. I'm glad it all worked out." So.
Oh, us too. We are so excited. Especially since me and James have been in the beard communities for a while now.
Yeah.
So having the amazing talents that you have in a musical way is just a dream. It's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I hope it's not just a bunch of like, hey, I play guitar a little bit, you know, really.
You know, I think me and James kind of looked at people in the community, if there was anybody who was a musician, and we checked them out. I play a little bit of guitar, and I try to play a little bit for my little videos and stuff, but I was looking for really proper musicians who've been out there, played. So if I could, there, you know, we've had Brian on, and he's an established musician, and he's had a channel, and he plays, and he's amazing. Yeah. And then the second person from the community who we really thought, and I've watched some of your lives for a long time.
Yeah.
So I've watched your lives and have seen you playing so many times that we were so excited. I was like, we got to get Jimmy on. We got to get Jimmy on. You are an excellent musician. And I've seen you play at least a year and a half, 2 years now. I mean, you started playing, you would just do like a little Instagram live and strum the guitar on like a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
I think that was just a way for me to like learn what the community was actually like when the business wasn't going like so full tilt. And, you know, unfortunately and fortunately, as the business picks up, you know, the music took a back seat. So it was kind of one of those things where I was wondering if that chapter was done, and I'm excited that it's not. So I'm really, really happy that it's not, you know.
Me too. I was really, really excited. And we'll talk more about some ambitions that you have in a little bit. But first, we got to hit, you know what time it is. It's dessert time, guys. We got to show some desserts here. So we know that James is going to be the man of the hour with the best dessert ever. So because he's actual, just to let everybody else know who doesn't know him, he's a professional chef and has been a professional chef for a while. So I, with my hotel restaurant management background, decided that I'm just going to buy pre-baked goods tonight.
Me too.
Or Snickers bars. Or I think I was passing off a Snickers bar. Last week I had Girl Scout cookies. Today it's blueberry banana nut muffins. They're like mini muffins. And they're actually really good. And they're from the Walmart Marketplace, which... amazingly, you know, it's actually really good. Yeah,
they're legit muffins, man.
They are. I don't mind. I thought Walmart muffins pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, James, what do you got, man? Oh, actually, we're gonna go Jimmy first.
Yeah, yeah. So please, because if James has something really awesome, mine's gonna look so stupid. I told Shasta just before I came down here, I was like, oh man, I need a dessert. But I ate all of them because desserts don't last long in my house with me here.
Same as me.
The only thing I could find that was like dessert-ish are these little things. Is it Entenmann's? Entenmann's? They make these. Okay. Oh. They're like little brownie / chocolate chip muffin things. And me and my daughter just can't get enough of these, which is probably why your boy is big. But they're nice in a pinch. They're no cuisine, but they're nice for wrapped goods.
I love it. Yeah, those are good. All right, James, unleash the dessert here, my friend.
Oreo cheesecake. Can't go wrong with it. Oreo cheesecake.
Oh my God.
I was in an Oreo LA. I was looking at the store yesterday, and I was like, I got a pack of Oreos. I had them on the in the cupboard, and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna have to make some Oreo cheesecake.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. I wish I lived.
Did that? You just did that.
So he's just like, oh, yeah, I had some Oreos just hanging around, you know, just added some cheesecake to it. We're good. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a like something you could sell at like the Cheesecake Factory. You're right.
I do not think that way at all. I think I have Oreos at home. I'm going to eat the Oreos.
Yes, me too. I actually was looking for some. I was like, I was looking for the Oreos. I was like, you know, oh, I'm going to go with Oreos or cookies because we also had like some chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. Beat us. You can't even compete. I gave up. I made like cakes the first couple of weeks and I made like a strawberry. Like I made the only things that I know how to make dessert wise. I cooked them already. I cooked them in like the first 4 weeks of the Beards and Dessert show that we had.
So you're at the end of the recipe book. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't remember the last time you made something.
Yeah. I made a whole cake. That's right. Cause I was like, the first time it was like, I made a cake. I was like, I made brownies and I made everything that I possibly knew how to make. That my mom had showed me. The only thing I think I have never made is cookies. So maybe you'll have to go with cookies. You know, I just have to go get them. Not the pre-baked. I actually make them from scratch.
ooh, nice, nice.
Oh, hey, Jimmy, you were out on the road. So we always love to talk about desserts, talk about food. You were out on the road. What was your go-to band, was roadie type of food where you're like, I'm on the road. This is my go-to food.
It's probably not a wise food to have while you're on the road, with the amazing lack of, you know, clean bathrooms to commandeer. but out here where we're at, my band, Rooted, didn't do as much road travel, but the band I was in for like over a decade, we were all over the place. And near the end of our tenure together, we had just come to terms with like we wanted to try stuff we'd never ever had before. So most of it was like if we could find like a local German place, or if we could find like a local you know, street taco-esque kind of thing, you know. I mean, we were trying tacos left and right, and I'm just glad our van died and we had to give it to the crusher. Because if anybody had bought that thing afterwards, they'd have cursed us until the day we were dead.
Road tacos.
Yeah, good tacos, or good like authentic Mexican or authentic Latin cuisine stuff that wasn't, you know, Americanized at all. It was just really like really to the point. And to this day, like even tonight, my wife brought home some authentic tamales, and man, so if I have to duck out early, you know why. But I'm just kidding. It was really
wrong with tamales.
No, you can't, man. They're so good, so good.
So, there was somebody like a couple months ago that was selling tamales, and it literally had a sign in their front yard. And I had to double back and be late for work.
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes. All of these, please bag them up. Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm in the Southwest, of course. So we have, that's what we live on here is the Southwest food, you know, the Mexican food. And so tamales is like our Christmas and Thanksgiving tradition here. And we go through 4 dozen at a holiday.
Like easily
48 easily. Yeah. And in my opinion, and maybe this is, you guys have, this is my opinion, green olive or no green olive. I know how I feel. I love the green olive. I think it takes something away from it if you don't have it in it.
Well, I haven't tried it.
Make me a bad guy then.
What?
Does that make me a bad guy then?
Because No. I'm just, it's okay. My wife hates them, will not put them in, and she only makes them for me. And so I have like my own little 2 dozen.
Okay.
So I have my, you see, I said that 2 dozen, yeah. 2 dozen with green olives in it. And I swear there's a different taste if you don't have the green olives in it. But you guys don't. Not an olive guy.
I've actually never.
You're on that board. Yeah, to me, that's like the must have. I've eaten a lot of tamales in my life, and I'm always like very picky about those. I'll still eat them without it. Don't get me wrong. I'm still gonna eat that masa and that wonderfulness that goes into it. Oh, yeah. Are you guys green or red tamale people?
I usually go both, but I mean, I like the red. I'll go both, though. I mean, it doesn't matter. I've never tried them with the green olive, though. I eat the heck out of olives. I love olives, so I'll have to try it with olives.
I'm gonna have to ship you. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get you to see if I'll have to ship you some. I don't know if free frozen.
They'll be really good by the time they get to you.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
I'll be trying to buy it.
Well, so here's the deal. My daughter just moved to Orlando, so now I have a reason to go to Florida, and you know, I might have to stop up in that Bradenton, Sarasota area.
but
you know what, this is the other, so I may bring some tamales, but my main goal, if I was to go up there, was to go get this cheesecake or something like that.
Hey, I'm coming.
Oh,
why
did you come here? Oreos. Hey, I got some Oreos. What are we gonna do with it? So tacos, tamales, you got I don't even want to think about a bus with all of that.
No, it wasn't even a bus. It was just like one of those 8-passenger early 90s GMC rallies.
I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this will tell you, this will age you here, because under the hood, you know, it was like the narrow hood.
I know what you're talking about.
If something broke down, there was a light under the hood that actually was a retractable light. You could take it all the way around the van. So they were really planning on these things breaking down hard. And they did. And when you try to pull like a 6x9 trailer full of gear, eventually the back end just falls off. So that thing was screaming at us. I mean, literally screaming. We would all have to like go to Delaware from North Carolina with earbuds in, because it was just like at us the whole time. And then there was, you know, the taco aftermath. So
yeah.
That's what
band life is about, especially at the beginning. Cause you know, everybody sees the big buses for the tour buses, but you don't start off there. I mean, last week we talked to the band last week, South for Winter. And they were talking about the same thing. Our bus broke down in the middle of nowhere. We had to go get it fixed. We were on our way to Rhode Island. We're not even halfway there, but we had, there's always that story of like these broken down buses. And and as a musician, I don't know. And Jimmy, you know the life of a musician. This is why I didn't become a professional musician. Yeah. Because you're eating peanuts. I mean, tacos is what you could afford.
Yeah. And those were the good ones. Yeah. Wrong. We were a Christian rock band. So most of our gigs were at churches, which meant we had a healthy dose of pizza and hot dogs. And then when we were really, really new to the road, we hit up the Christian coffee shop circuit is what I call it. What it was really like was just going to no man's land out in the boonies and playing for whomever found this place. And then they, you know, the owner would clap us on the back and say, good show. Here's a coffee for the road. And you go back 100 miles home with nothing in your pocket, you know? So
you're trying to get your name out there. Right.
Yeah, and we're definitely doing it by playing at a coffee shop in the middle of nowhere that's going to be defunct in a year because they don't know how to manage money. So, you know, we were young. We didn't know. So.
Right.
So what's been what's been like the most kind of favorite place you've kind of played, like church or festival or?
Gosh, my favorite place.
Our favorite experience or place.
I remember the first time we played a convocation center up at App State University in Boone. It was for a big festival. It was our first time, like we had won a competition, which won us like an opening slot for some of the biggest names in that industry at the time. Of course, we didn't meet those guys, but it was a huge, huge stadium. And I remember we were like a four piece. We didn't play with a click track. We were all over the map. We looked like we were all from different, you know, different hobo camps. And we had some songs and like a fire in us, you know, and we went hard for those three songs. And I remember it was just filling up at that point. Like we didn't even have the full house, but when we got on stage, there were like 2,000 people there. And that was like, that was the first time we played for anybody over 100 folks in a crowd. And the 100 folks crowds were for like church services. So people kind of had to be there anyway, you know? So the first time we played for 2,000 people, I really thought I was going to like pass out because I was so freaked out, you know? And wow. If you fast forward a few years later, we played several shows like that. We had gotten a little more seasoned. I'd gotten more comfortable as a front man. It was really exciting to play for, you know, 4,000 folks at our peak, you know, and we really, you know, had a really good time learning how to, you know, transfer that energy that they were giving us back without blowing our voices out, which that was another long trek, you know, but
totally true.
That's awesome. That's playing in front of 4,000 people. That's just, even from when you started playing in front of like, you know, 100, 200, whatever, to 4,000 people. That's amazing.
Like two people come in for a coffee and then 3 years later, you're in front of, you know, four times that, 4,000 times that sometimes, you know, like it's just weird, man. It's weird. The life and like the trajectory that a band can take if they pretty much cut everything else out and just do that.
Yeah, amazing. 3 years, actually. I mean, if you think about that, that is very substantial. Most people don't have that kind of career that's the case. Most people, you know, and we all know, I talk to a lot of musicians. My parents are musicians. And there's people that never get off the ground, even off the ground floor. They'll make an EP and kind of put it out there, and then it never goes anywhere. It may go local. They'll play at a couple coffee shops for a while, never get any traction, and then that's the end. It dies. So the fact that you were able to get anything is huge. But it has to go with what you were talking about, that fire. And that's kind of the reason why we started this, is because there's a fire that goes in musicians to be able to produce the music, be creative, but additionally to make it happen. There is a fire that is needed, and that's what makes and breaks makes or breaks the bands is the fact that you have to, sometimes it's about being at the right place, right time.
Sure.
But, but additionally, it's about having that passion. And we'll talk about more about, some more passion that's going to be ongoing.
Yeah.
So what got you into music? I mean, what was your early on music life? What was it? What got you into playing and wanting to be a front man or singer, songwriter?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, my dad was, from the time I was very young, he was a music minister. And he was simultaneously in a band. So on Sundays, he was in a very, very traditional Southern Baptist church, leading choirs and singing hymns with only a piano. And then on weekends, he was playing very much the same circuit, but just decades apart from what we were doing. But he was in like a really, really rockin' blues band. I mean, they would just kick it. And he was like, you know, I mean, Southern rock to the core, you know, like just really, really out there. So, you know, one of my earliest photos is me playing like a plastic rake at one of his rehearsals. You know, they gave me like one of the old busted mic stands that had nothing on the end of it. It's just like a, you know, folding gooseneck, and I had a green rake in it. But I remember when we moved to the area we're currently in, I'd always liked singing, but my brother really wanted to be a drummer, and he's 4 years younger than me. He starts playing drums, excuse me. And I kind of wanted to keep up, you know, which is weird because I was the older brother. But, you know, so I ended up taking lessons with him for Latin percussion and hand percussion, you know, just like all kinds of hand drums and what they call the toys, the back in the CD and tape liner notes days, they would call them like tasty licks, tasty treats, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was all just ethereal additive. And then I started writing poetry and wanting to turn it into melody. And I needed a melodic instrument. So my dad gave me his old, like 67 Silvertone. It was beat to heck, man. It was like learning to play on a piece of firewood that had bark on it still, you know? So 6 months in, I give up because my hands are hurting. They're killing me. And then about 6 months later, I get to jonesing for it again, go back, and I never stopped. And I never set out to be a front man. In fact, Dad had me in like our youth praise team. And I remember this like so vividly because that team had been together so long that we were just bickering and fighting all the time. This is right before we go and praise Jesus, you know, all this stuff. We're like, and Dad, I remember one time he's the youth minister and he's trying to lead this crew. And by that point, he's just like, he gets fed up and he looks out and he goes, you know what? I'm out of this. I'm just going to lead like the group. Jimmy, you take it. And I was like, what? And then the next Wednesday, I had to lead the band, you know? And from that point on, it was just like, it got a little bit easier every step. And it became pretty apparent to me that I was more a leadership type. So, yeah. So that's what happened there. That's how we got on that track.
I love that, man. I love that. And you know what's really cool is that you became from the from that musical background. Mm-hmm. And especially Southern rock, blues, from that Southern area, that is where music is just amazing, in my opinion. Yeah. That's where a lot of that amazing, I mean, rock came from. Rock that was part of the blues. That's where it came from, was from that rock generated from that area.
Became
rock and roll because of the blues and the licks that went into blues licks and things like that. Just amazing. Well, that's what Elvis Presley was.
He was a
blues singer.
Got that Delta stuff rolling.
Delta blues.
A little bit on the hotter edge, right? So
Right. And it sold. And it was amazing. You know, that's where rock started. It was from that. It's American and it's beautiful from that area. So yeah, very cool. What's your favorite style to play?
Well, I'm kind of, rock is probably not my favorite, and it's not my least favorite, but over time I learned, you know, you learn what your hands and your voice are meant to do. And that's why it's always fun to go down memory lane and find your favorite band and listen to their very first thing. And the very first thing they did was probably genuinely new. And then the second record typically is something that you could feel like the label got their hands on and started to polish things up so that the masses would keep consuming, you know? Right. And then about three or four records later, somebody from the group, if not the whole group, they just decide we're going to do what we want. And they come out with something that you never knew they even liked to do. And they were great at it, you know? So for me, we started in that whole praise and worship rock kind of stuff. The older I've gotten, the more I have just leaned really far back into acoustic. And when I heard like the Civil Wars, I don't want to, you know, I love Mumford and Sons, and everybody talks about Mumford and Sons. They're like, well, everything's the same, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, you try to play it and then find out that it's a little bit different, you know?
Right.
But all of those people, that whole movement that was in like the 20, when the 2000s were going to the 2010s, that whole acoustic kind of hipster vibe. It awakened my love for acoustic guitar. And we, you know, once the band actually disbanded, I realized I wanted to do stuff that had rock elements to it, but I didn't want to be a rock singer. I wanted to tell stories. And the best way I could do that was with a guitar, because I've always heard that if you can sing the song with just a guitar and it lays people out, or it does its job, or people say, hey, that's a good song, then you've got a great song, because all you're going to do is add good stuff to it, you know. So that's been my bag lately, is telling stories, whether they're like spooky or sad, or I guess folk singer, songwriter, and then a lot of other genres along the way whenever I like to do them, you know.
And like with like the Ruddy Reveal, like I want to say like the storytelling in that, even when you first started and you started the storytelling with audio, it's like, it's been amazing. Like you, like I told you before, like I literally put myself in to the story. You get put into the story and you can try and figure out, instead of, like you said, figure out the mystery of it, kind of get put into the actual story of it. Yeah. So you have really excellent like storytelling abilities.
Oh man, I appreciate that. Thanks. I try anyway. and if it's terrible, I know immediately. It's like, that was a dumb story. Nobody liked that.
You know what's really cool is those elements is exactly what you're talking about. That storytelling element, that creativity that musicians have. Being able to tell a story, and then it's not just about thinking of a story, it's being able to tell it.
Yeah.
To where people feel it, and either doing it through music or through poetry, whatever it is, you know, writing, whatever it is, it's being able to convey that idea and make people really feel it. And that's the hardest part. We all have dreams and we have thoughts and stories that we tell people, but being able to convey it in an idea where they want to listen and they can feel it and be there, I think that you have that talent. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I mean, that's honestly, I think the very best artists are just all geeks. You know, they're all nerds about something, whether it's color palettes and their way of looking at the world and seeing like, I need a little more of this red to create that feeling. Or you know, I mean, when you're cooking, we laugh about the cookie cheesecake, but you know, to have a stroke of like you were struck by the muse when you're like, I got a pack of Oreos at home, I can do this.
Get creative,
you know, and it becomes like this driving force. And in that moment, you're like, I have the tool set, I have the passion, I can do this, and it will be good. Or even if it's terrible, I did it, you know, like, and I'm sure the cheesecake is wonderful.
But, yeah, I mean, that's how it is. Like literally, if last time I went to California, I visited my cousins and whatever. I stayed with my cousin and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to raid your fridge. I'm going to like make stuff for y'all. And they're like, oh, we don't have anything in it. Like that night, I literally made them stuff that they already had. Like,
Well, and for me, and you know this because you've said this about the I should do this because you're on this side. You know about the storytelling with the Ruddy Reveal. For me, and I'm just very, very blessed to have married my wife because she's the same way, but we geek out over words. And at one point in our lives, it was grammar Nazism. I understand that. But it's grown because language evolves. And that's something that has, honestly, the understanding of that has helped me shake up out of those deep roots of like that would keep you from changing. And so when you write, the longer you live and the more you allow yourself to kind of shift with language, you realize that you become a better storyteller because you study vernacular and you also study like the historical reason that words are used. I love like phraseology, man. Just like figuring out why do we say that? Like today, my brain works like this. I was driving down the road and I heard in a song corner, the word corner. And I geeked out for a minute. I was like, why do we call that corner. Where did that word come from?
Like, what are words? Words, pretty much. Like,
yeah,
where
did they find certain words? Yeah, and then you have to end up going back to Latin-based stuff to find most of it, and you figure out that they have very literal reasons for it. And I know this is the boring stuff that nobody really loves, but it's why I want to write songs the way I do, because if you can match a rhyme internally, or, you know, really well, then that's a feat that you have achieved. You know, that's a big deal when you can rhyme things and then also say something that matters at the same time.
Totally right. Right. Etymology is really, I think you're, I geek out on that stuff too. I'm a big history buff.
Yeah.
So when I go into that, I love to see the history and how it got changed over time, and especially the roots of a lot of our words. You know, a lot of them are Germanic or Latin, depending on, you know, the word. And it's just very interesting how the English language even got set up, because there's so many different influences. And actually, they say that the English language is one of the hardest to learn, because there is so many pieces and entry points that came from, you know, so many elements of our words that come from different places, like kindergarten, it's German.
Yes.
But other things are Latin. Yeah. Just very interesting.
And then we use like rendezvous as if it's an English word, but that's totally French. You know, like, I mean, but we use it in our everyday. Like, we don't say, well, I guess we could say the meetup, but rendezvous has the feeling in it, you know, like it's supposed to be sort of secretive and a little bit, you know, sensual and all this kind of thing, you know. You don't get that from saying, let's just go meet, you know.
But that's the cool thing that about words, and that's where that's you can tell right here, and anybody who's watching, that's the reason why he's successful at this, is because he's looking at the words and seeing what the meanings are and then putting them into a phrase to where you can feel it. Because you could say, hey, we're going to meet, or hey, we're gonna rendezvous tonight, and do you know, it sounds so much different, and it conveys such a different feeling than I'm just going to meet up. You're absolutely right. I think you're right.
Yeah, love it.
It's like what Corey said, rappers are on a different level when you can freestyle and do that. And, I mean, the good rappers that actually freestyle, not like the bad rappers, but like the good rappers that can actually just freestyle and just talk about, say, whatever word, you know what I'm saying,
amazingly
mean that.
And they, they make a point, right? that's the whole idea, is like to make a point, not just to string along whatever works.
Well, right. And I have one of those sons. So I have music is just around me all the time. And I kind of had let go of it a little bit over the last few years, but now I'm kind of gaining it back. But one of my, my stepson is I call him a beat rapper. He raps. He started off doing the lyrical stuff when he was like in 10. And he was like, just had books and books. And I'm sure you have these books of ideas and poetry that he wrote that you're going to someday make into a song. And it's all these books. I mean, it's just, he had at least when we went through it, when we were moving, he had at least 30 or 40 of these little college books of just lyrics that he had written down when he was like at night and when he was trying to go to sleep, 20 or 30 of these things. Now he's making his own beats and he's meeting up with some different folks to help, that's going to help him produce his stuff. But he's had to learn all of the stuff behind it, which is this is the interesting thing about musicians, is they can take the songwriting piece and then they can add music to it.
Yeah.
And you have to, now you're adding, you know, there's only a certain amount of scales and chords and things. You have to figure out how does the feel of it. So then you get the mood of it. And then how am I going to express it through chords and music so that it conveys that feeling that you wrote down in your binder or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Corey said that's what he actually used to do as a lyrical practice. He would just try to freestyle rap. It would help him for his mind, keep his mind sharp when he played guitar, which actually he actually did the same stuff as when he packed his orders. He would do like a little rap thing. words. It was actually pretty funny. I remember him doing that as I brought it up.
That's cool.
He was rapping and rapping, right?
He was rapping while he was rapping.
That's cool, Corey. I appreciate that story. That's cool.
Yeah, that's great.
So we're at we got about 20 minutes left. We do want to do a giveaway before, but first we want to talk about something that's really, really cool and something that is in. So we've talked about how wonderful your company is, but you've decided that you've also wanted to pursue your passion again.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you've decided is that you've actually been able to, through some connections, Colin and some other people, you were able to get something set up so that you could go to Nashville. Kind of describe what's going on there and, you know, maybe a little bit of history and then maybe what you're trying to do so that people can understand and what we're trying to do to help generate something for you.
Yeah, man. So most of you guys know Colin lives in Franklin, Tennessee. Colin from Fable. He's a buddy of mine. And I don't know when it happened. We had been friends for like a year and a half, and homeboy has just been so, so busy that he didn't really know that I was a singer or a writer. I mean, he knew that I played guitar and fiddled around, I guess, but he went back and listened to a couple of songs from my discography. That is an archaic term now, isn't it? Discography. But he listened to a few of those and he was like, dude, why are you just doing beard oil? I was like, well, because it actually pays my bills and I've done this before.
Ding, ding, ding.
But he met up with a guy, Ben Calhoun, who's he's a lead singer of a very well-known CCM band out there in Franklin. COVID hit everybody, so it grounded everything to a halt. And Ben has been working with mostly young up and coming like worship singers, but he's also just wanting to work with people who have, you know, a good rapport with folks who have like the talent and the songwriting abilities. He just wants to write songs, create songs, put music out. And Colin is in touch. Actually, they're buddies now because he's been, you know, helping Colin with some film up videography, that kind of stuff. So he put me in touch with Ben, and Ben took a listen to some of the songs, and our conversations were really sparse at first. And they were like, you know, so, you know, I'd play him a song from my days with Secondhand City, and he would be like, so who's singing the song? And I'm like, that's me. And he's like, who's playing guitar on this song? I'm like, that's me. And he's like, oh, okay. And then like 20 minutes later, there'd be another one. Like, who's singing on this one? I was like, that's me. And my brother's singing backup. And he was like, yeah, this is how it would go for a while. And then he heard some of my solo work and he was like, dude, you can sing. And I was like, thank you. I've been trying for a long time. and he meant it as an encouragement, but you know, it was kind of funny. It was just kind of funny. And then I would, you know, I think last Christmas I released like a video of me playing an instrumental version of We Three Kings on a big baritone acoustic. My daughter was in the video. It was fun. Just to put out there for people to kind of have a good time with. He saw that and he's like, dude, you can play. And I'm like, I try, you know, like, and then he said, well, do you have any song ideas? And I threw one out at him. He's like, man, you can write. And I was like, what are we saying here, man? You know? And so Ben reached out to me. He goes, this is what I want to do, man. I want you to work with me. We need some money, of course. He's got some, ties to like his own, label, his own private label. And then he's also got ties to this platform he's built for the musicians on that label to have ongoing funding, kind of like Patreon, but not nearly as much as much money that can go towards the artist goes towards the artist. And you just get your fan base to help you continually create music, which is how old school fandom used to work with records. But now the new school is you got to get on playlists online with Spotify and other aggregates like that. So anyway, he's talking to me about this and he's like, we need to, you know, you need to look into getting about $3,000 to come up here and do a song and then another $300 to place on a Spotify playlist. And everything I've ever recorded has been close to home. It's been a minute fraction of that. But I knew we were talking about Nashville here, and I have always, like any musician worth his salt, or and a lot of them that aren't, they've always wanted to go to Nashville, right? And the closer I get to doing like country rock, southern rock, southern gothic, you know, murder ballads is what they called them last week, right?
Those
kinds of things. The closer I get to that, the more I'm like, you know, I wasn't paying attention to this. I was just doing the beard care thing. I mean, most people know I'm a man of faith, and I just have a hard time looking a gift horse in the mouth. This came to me and basically sat in my lap and said, what you gonna do about it? And I talked to my wife, and she was like, you know, we feel like this is, you know, in our terms, it's a God thing. You know, it's like something that just showed up out of nowhere when I thought that the music chapter was done. And now I've got this guy who has been in the same circuits as me and even further telling me, you have the tools. Let's make some good music. So I want to do that. I want to go hang out with my buddy Colin. I want to go hang out with Ben for about a week and crank out a song, get it out on some Spotify playlists, and just see what happens. This is, I will forever regret it if I don't. So we're just going to try. And then I'm not going to stop singing and playing anyway, but this would be a shot to see if it's maybe something for you.
That's awesome. Yeah. I saw Colin's post that where he met with him. I think he, called him the producer or something like that.
Yeah.
He was showing a picture of like when he met him. I guess he was dropping off a picture or stuff with him. Yeah. I saw the post.
Yeah. Ben's a great guy, man.
Right. Something audio go weird. Were you guys hearing it? No, man.
Is it me or what? Like
the delay?
Yeah, the delay.
Yeah, the delay.
Yeah.
You hear me?
It's like...
I hear you.
It's me. Hang on.
I'm checking out these comments.
Yeah, hang on.
Listening to myself.
Audio. Oh, it's James. Why is it James? James, what happened there?
I'm not sure.
Hold on. If I mute you, I can't hear. It's that double echo. It's like a delay.
Are you listening through headphones, James? That's probably what it is then. Like his speakers are going into the mic.
That's what it sounds like. Maybe it's reverb.
Well, there's Brian. Hey, man.
How's that?
Better now. Oh, yeah. Better. Better. Much better.
Better?
Yeah, totally better. Super clean. You gotta love audio and all the stuff that goes into these live streams. It's amazing. It's, you know, it's just little small things that go weird with it too. But
yeah.
So what we want to help publicize, and we're gonna do our best to help him get to Nashville, is that Jimmy has a PayPal account that will help generate monies so that he can go there. So tonight we're going to hear some songs. We're going to hear specifically some songs he wants to play in Nashville. Okay. So he wants to record. And then we want everybody here in the community, and we do such a good job of being able to help people. Jimmy has been a member of this community for 2+ years. I don't know when you first started in. I know it was before I was in, so it's been at least two and a half.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, and he has been such a good, uplifting company owner since I've been in. I mean, just always with an uplifted spirit, always smiling. Never part of the drama, ever part of the drama, always uplifting, always giving people really good inspirational thoughts, and plays his music on IGs when you're just kind of feeling like you're, you know, hey, Friday night, I'm going to go play some music.
Yeah.
Absolutely have always enjoyed that. I actually tune in as soon as I see that I see a guitar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, gotta go listen to some.
He's live.
Absolutely. Once I see you going live, I'm checking them out. And also just the chats with you doing your products. But when I see that guitar and I'm just like, okay, we got to listen because it's just beautiful music. And pursuing a passion like this is a little pricey. And I know people that here in the Valley that are a record producer or they're doing music producing, they're not cheap. They're even with local, you're talking without a very good discount, which is what Jimmy has been getting. But in a big town like Phoenix, and this is just Phoenix, you're talking $1,000 to $2,000 per hour for or per song. And he's been talking to somebody that actually Ben is somebody who actually produces stars.
Yeah.
So that doesn't come around ever. And getting some time with these, usually they're so booked out. I have a friend that's been doing it in Phoenix. He's booked out a year. You can't even get the time to get in with the studio. So, and when you do get the, you get that 2 hours and that's it. You only get those 2 hours. You don't get another, slot. If you don't get it right, those first 2 hours, you're done.
That's
you don't get another slot. Right. Yeah. So being able to have the opportunity to work with a star who's been there, done that, and is being able to do exactly what he wants to do is so rare. It is a blessing, my friend. It is a blessing. So let's help this man get some of his ability to sing and his musicianship. Let's get it out there. You know, let's get it on Spotify. But also he's working with somebody who has been able to produce albums in, knows how sound's supposed to sound, you know, how his voice is supposed to sound. And he's going to do the mixing correctly. He's going to set it all up to where it sounds so professional. But that takes money. It really does. And I'm not here to, you know, I just know what it takes to get to that level.
Sure.
My dad's a composer and he does it and he has his own studio. He has the switches. He has the, you know, the boxes and all the stuff. It's crazy amount of money to make these studios. And it's crazy to be able to actually know what you're doing with the studio equipment. Absolutely. So, and to get a professional who's been doing it for years to help you, you don't get a chance like this again. You really don't. So,
especially when you don't know to do anything but hack at an acoustic. You know, just go, where's the mic? I'll sing into it. That's all I got.
To do the mixing and all of the stuff. I mean, I was watching, who's that star? I can't remember. He's on Netflix. And anyway, he's the guy who produced Celine Dion, and he plays music behind, but he had like a string of the Eagles, and he's helped basically made number ones. And the reason why he made number ones is because he knows how to produce the music, how to mix the music correctly to where it will become a number one. It's amazing. Yeah. And Chicago was a prime example. Chicago was one of those places that Chicago was a group in the 70s when they went to this guy, and I can't remember his name now. It's going to kill me because I just watched the show. When he went to this producer in L.A., they went from 70s kind of heard of them to the stuff that you heard in the 80s, which was all number one hit, one after number one hit. And that's the difference between a guy that he probably knows what he's doing a little bit to a guy that is so dialed in to make every bit of your sound amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a night and day difference, but it takes money to do that. So let's help him get there.
It does.
And we'll help him get there. And so that's what I'm hoping. And that's what I'm calling for the community to help out with. But before we go to his music, because he's going to get ready to play some music, we have a giveaway for one of his CDs from Rooted, which was the last band. So he has a CD that we're going to be giving away.
Yeah, it's right here, actually.
Look at that awesome. Look at that awesome disc.
Got the plastic wrap. Y'all like CDs, right? Y'all like these dinosaur bones, I found?
So we're giving away a CD of Jimmy and his band.
Right there.
Yep, there he is. And so all we're asking for right now is just go do a quick rundown while he's going to play. So we're going to do it while you play. We just want one of the singles from that, or one of the tracks from that album. That's all we're asking for. And I'm going to tell you that there's some thing in plain sight that if you go into certain areas of this stream, you might find a link to something that might give you the answers.
Oh boy.
So with all that said, let's hear Jimmy play some music. That's why we all came here. That's why we do, why me and James do this, is because we get excited about hearing the music just as much as everybody else does. And we've had some amazing musicians, and this is yet another one. So let's give it up, Jimmy, to play. Thank you very much for coming on in, and we appreciate it. And keep your comments coming, and guess your answers.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn. So, this is one I played with Rooted a while back, and I still love it because it's about living here in North Carolina, in the foothills, that is. All right. Born in the Southland, raised in the pines, growing to Jesus would always be mine. I will move to the mountains to follow a dream. They say nothing's out here, I don't know what they mean. Because you open space means more room to grow. If you don't try, then you'll never know. I don't mean to offend, but if you just can't see it, well, I'll help you understand. Some friends in the water, it gives us some grit, and though some try hard to shake it, well, they just can't forget that you open space means more room to grow. But if you don't try, then you'll never know. Ain't just found in the steel. Backwards mirror my reflection. I'm growing in something real. I know there's a place for cities where millions of others thrive. With these evergreen skyscrapers, I've never felt more alive. Ooh, I spent my life trying not to find you a home to build. that was already mine. Well, open space means more room to grow. But if you don't try, then you'll never know. Never know. Oh, yeah.
Let it rain. All right, man. That felt good.
Awesome job. Awesome job.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I realize I'm showing you like what my website is, but I'm not showing you the guitar. And the guitar is like why everybody comes to the yard.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I'm going to do a ghost story song now, I think. So, yeah. But this one is, it's a happy song that's kind of like Johnny Cashy sounding. So if you're a Cash fan, you'll love this. If you're a Cash fan, you'll really, really loathe it because I don't sound like Johnny Cash, but we're going to have fun with it anyway. It's called Chapel. It's based on a local or semi-local church chapel that's really old, that's right around where I live. There are a lot of different legends about this this blood stain that's on the floor that they cannot get rid of, whether it's professionally or just, you know, kind of trying to wipe it up. No matter what they do, it's red with blood. And a lot of people seem to think that there was a pastor at the time who took his life because he was jilted. So that's the long and short of it. But this is our song, or my song, rather, telling a few of those legends all crammed into one. So, well, I followed that old call, the one that led me here to this little sanctuary where the air is clear. I saw you in the crowd, and I knew at that time your pretty little hand would soon be mine. We had a wondrous love, you'd tell me every day. I was the only man on earth to drive your blues away. You'd take me by the hand, and I'd look into your eyes. I didn't know behind them there were lies. Oh, this chapel used to be a place of peace, a solace for the hungry, poor, and meek. Oh, but then you gave away your love and stole my heart from me. My final resting place, this church will be. Chapel used to be a place of peace, a solace for the hungry, poor, and meek. Oh, but then you gave away your love and stole my heart from me. My final resting place, this church will be. It's lonely in this grave, the one without a stone. No words to mark my name or the land I once called home. So I'll go to the place where I had done the crime, but rest assured the fault ain't solely mine. Oh no, the fault ain't solely mine. The fault ain't solely mine. Takes two to break a heart, but one to die.
For this chapel used to be a place of peace, a solace for the hungry, poor, and meek. Oh, but then you gave away your love and stole my heart from me. My final resting place, this church will be. Yes, you took the only thing that ever mattered here to me. My final resting place, this church will be. Cool. Thanks, man.
Amazing. Thanks. Amazing song. And you know what I got where that was going, because you just played it down and then you played it different places on the neck to make it even sound. Amazing.
Yeah.
Very talented. Awesome. Very talented. Yeah, very talented. Thanks.
I got one more if you got time for it.
We do. Yeah. We are all, yes, all in, yes. Man. All in.
This is actually the one that I want to do in Nashville. I've run it by Ben a few times, and he's like, yes, we need to do this one. So this is a good old-fashioned, I say old-fashioned, it's like a country rock type ballad over breaking up. And going back to what we were talking about, how cool words are, the word goodbye, it always denotes like, you know, farewell in a good way, you know, like, see you later. We had a good time together. So this one's called No More Goodbyes, because when you're leaving somebody that you love, it's not a goodbye. It's just kind of it's a bad bye. What if that was a word? So here we go. No More Goodbyes. Brand new song. If I screw it up, don't shoot me. Something in the way you move that isn't the same. A silence that I just can't ignore. There's a distance here between us, and I know I'm to blame. So before you go and walk out that door, I won't say the words we always say when we hang up the phone. So for now, it's see you later, till you're right back at home. I won't call this goodbye a goodbye, 'cause there's nothing satisfying about the tears in your eyes. And if I ever get the chance to make it right, oh, I swear to you, darling, there won't be no more goodbyes. Oh, remember how we used to think that we were enough. Everything we needed was here. You and I had something people only dream of. So baby, while you're leaving, let me make it clear. I won't call this goodbye a goodbye, 'cause there's nothing satisfying about the tears in your eyes. And if I ever get the chance to make it right, oh, I swear to you, darling, won't be no more goodbyes. And if you turn away, I won't blame you at all. But I'm begging you to stay. Baby, won't you stay? I won't call this goodbye a goodbye, 'cause there's nothing satisfying about the tears in your eyes. And if I ever get the chance to make it right, oh, I
swear to you, darling, there won't be no more goodbyes. No more goodbyes. Oh, and if I ever get a chance to make it right, oh, I swear to you, darling, there will be no more goodbyes. There will be no more goodbyes.
Thank you.
Holy moly. Holy
moly. That's awesome. Just...
Drop the mic right there. Drop the
mic.
Oh, right,
man.
There, folks. Beautiful.
I hope
beautiful.
I didn't blow the mic out. I was trying to like move my face away from this one so I don't belt
too
hard.
No, actually had really good levels on that. Yeah, no, it was really good.
Perfect.
And you got perfect. So many compliments on all of the songs. I really see why that song should go to Nashville. I kid you not. That was all of them were good. That was excellent.
Thank
excellent.
You.
Hope Nashville's ready for Ruddy.
Yep. Absolutely. So let's get him there. Folks. Let's get him there. So anybody
maybe
watching,
I just go
this,
by Ruddy Man when I'm there.
So awesome, amazing, and we are right at time. So we're going to let you get back to your day. We appreciate your time,
you.
James. Any last questions or thoughts for Jimmy?
No. Well, actually, who's the winner? For the
Camo Cam. So Gary, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, he said Silhouettes, and I was like, no, that's the name of the album. And then I realized that the next person down had it Fly. So it was Camo Cam. Good job, everybody who entered. Camo Cam, please IG me. IG Tasty Licks Interviews on IG and follow. And additionally, so we will be able to send this out to you. We'll get you all the information you need to be able to get to have Jimmy send that out to you.
Yeah.
Amazingly good. Amazingly.
Crazy too.
Camo did, Gary. He won because you had the name of the album, but not a track. So close. It was hard for me. It was hard. But
Gary
anyway,
likes that record. He sings it going into Costco.
Absolutely does. And so I'm just going to say with this, Jimmy, it was an honor. We will definitely
That's
have
amazing.
To have you on again. There's no doubt in my mind that we will have you on again as a up-and-coming person who's already on Spotify, you know, where we'll be talking about. Remember the time when you came on our show and you hadn't been on Spotify yet? We'll have that talk.
There's some old stuff out there, but I don't know if I want everybody knowing about it.
Yeah. So amazingly good. I just very talented. And I can tell that there is so much passion in you for this. So let's get him there, folks.
Thank you, man.
James, anything else?
No, man, it's always a pleasure having have Ruddy on the screen. It's amazing stuff to listen to. I can listen to his stuff all day.
Me too. We've had amazing guest after amazing guest, and here's yet another one that just blows my mind on how amazing these folks are and how creative.
And get ready to Nashville.
That's right. That's what we're gonna have to do. Get ready to Nashville. So we'll put out some links and stuff to give you guys the PayPal. Or I don't know if you want to give that out publicly, but we'll talk about it and we'll figure out a way that you can get the links and the anybody who wants to donate will be out there and we'll be helping him support him on his journey. So excellent, excellent. And I'm really excited to see this journey for you, Jimmy. I mean, honestly,
Thank you so much, man.
And we'll, you know, and I've already talked to you about the fact that, you know, my sister's a publicist. So,
yes, you have.
So
that earworm has been working its way into my brain. So
let's keep that conversation going as well, and we'll just have a good time. Thank you guys. And you know what? Thanks to the audience. We don't do these. You know, we're still new. We're on episode 9, but we do this because we love music, but we also love the audience and the people who come in and interact with us. So Very excited to be able to have you all come in. Yeah, yeah. And this is a, just a different venue, a different look at Jimmy that you may have not known he had. So amazing. And we will have to see you guys next time. Thanks again, Jimmy. We'll see you out there. Yeah, we'll see you out there.
Later.